You'll find the scripture tonight in the book of Jude, verse 20. Jude, verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith,
yes.
Praying in the Holy Ghost,
yes.
Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Yes. Let's bow our heads again, please, while we pray. Our Father, I bow in your presence to ask you to forgive me, to cleanse me of every sin, every word, thought, lust, action, attitude, whatever about me that's unchristlike, I pray that you'll cleanse me of it. Thank you for this day, for the mercies, for the blessings of it. Thank you for the privilege to be in this place tonight. And thank you, Lord, for those that have labored so many years before, those that have participated, those that have preached, those that have prayed. And I thank you, Lord, tonight for these that are here. And I pray that you'll speak to our hearts from your word, through your servant. I thank you for touching Brother Clifford tonight and allowing him to be with us. Lord, I pray that you'll bless each of these men of God in their respective places of service. And oh, dear Lord, I do pray that revival will come to us, to your people. I thank you, Lord, that no matter how dark the day, no matter how oppressive the powers, Lord, that you're able to do a work, and I pray that you'll be pleased to display thy might and thy power. I pray now especially for this service. I pray that you'll drive back every evil spirit, every satanic force, every demonic power. And when we leave tonight, may we be aware that God has spoken to us, that God has said something to our hearts. I pray for that special anointing. Illuminate my mind and loose my tongue.
Yes.
And may the word go forth in its power.
Yes.
Should there be those among us that are strangers to your grace, I pray that this will be the hour of salvation. Revive those of us that are saved. Edify your church.
Come,
exalt your name.
Yes, Lord.
And I pray, Lord, that at the close of this service, we will have traveled the divine distance you wanted to take us. We love you because you first loved us and gave yourself for us. In the name of our blessed blood-stained Redeemer, I pray, amen. I want to speak to you tonight as we look at these verses from the book of Jude about words from the Word. Now, there are all kinds of books, of course, that have been written to tell God's people how to live, how to be blessed. And sometimes we're told that if we'll contribute to their ministry, especially by their book, that we will be especially blessed. To hear some talk today that if you are saved, if you become a Christian, it means that you won't ever have any more problems. You'll always wear a Rolex watch and drive a Mercedes Benz. But the truth is, Jesus said of his people, in this world ye shall have tribulation. Psalm 119:127 says, therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, and fine gold. There's nothing more precious than the word of God. The only thing that will sustain us, that is the people of God, is the word. You're cleansed through the word which I have spoken. Most of the little book of Jude, of course, has dealt with the ungodly, lacking reverential awe. But Jude, in the verses that I read, especially talks to the people of God, telling us how to live, how to face these last days. He writes that he wanted to talk about their salvation, our salvation through Jesus. But when he started to write, he felt divinely compelled to urge the people of God, the church, earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. The Apostle Jude describes, those that he describes in these verses are just mouth professors and not heart possessors. That is until we get to verses 20 and 21. Spiritually speaking, it is nighttime in the world.
Yes.
Prophetically speaking, we're near the midnight hour. In the morally speaking, we're facing the shadows of morality that are down to a dull tone of gray. Intellectually speaking, many of the old and sacred ways are dying with the sunset of traditionalism. And historically speaking, we're in the midst of humanity's greatest transition from light to darkness. But from the eternal perspective, the night will soon be past. And in the glaring light of His presence, the church will face the judgment seat. 1,000 years later, the sinner will face the great white throne judgment to be cast in the regions of the damned forever. I am grateful that we have a book, we have the Bible. It does lighten us, that lightens the path, that and it is a light to our path. And we're grateful for the eternal Word of God. 2 Peter 2:1 speaks about this falling away as well. Jude describes these apostates as being spots in your feast, clouds without water, trees without fruit, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. 2 Peter 2:1 says, there shall be false teachers among you who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. But in the verses that I read, it's like the saints are crossing over the golden bridge into the promises of God. We've come out of the sewer, and the last days have been revealed. The false prophets have been exposed. What is bad news to the world is good news to the church. As dark as it may be, as great as the apostasy may be, we are told to build ourselves up in our most holy faith. And so the one word for these last days, one word from the Word, is the word edification. Faith in the written Word of God, as mentioned in verse 3. Once the faith that was once delivered to the saints. If God has saved you, has made you a saint of God. Now the idea that we're going to become saints after we die has no scriptural basis whatsoever. I don't care what the Pope declares or anybody else declares. Either a person is a saint when they die or they will never become a saint. The Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. How can it be precious to a saint if you don't know that you're a saint until after you're dead? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saint, of His saints. Now in reality, there are only two classes. You're a saint or you ain't. You're in the grace of God or you're not in the grace of God. The word sanctify comes from the same word as the word faith, as the word saint. When the Lord saved us, He positioned us, sanctified us, set us apart, placed us in the body of Christ. But we're being progressively sanctified each day. Or at least we should. When the Lord saved me, a new person came on the inside. When I get up in the morning, there are two Larry Winklers. There's the new nature, and there's the old nature. And sometimes, to be honest, the old nature does get out of hand. I do have to repent. I do have to ask for the Lord's cleansing and for His forgiveness. But if God has saved you, you're a saint. You're just as much a saint as Luke or Paul,
right,
or any of the gospel writers. If God has saved you, you're a part of His family, and you're a saint of God. Now, according to the Roman tradition, the Church of Rome, there are three qualifications that a person must meet to qualify for sainthood. First of all, that person must have lived a saintly life from the Roman perspective. And secondly, that person must have performed a miracle. And thirdly, that person must be dead. Of course, that would qualify a lot of Baptists, but they're talking about physical death. But if God has saved you, you're a saint of God. You're just as much a saint as any of the gospel writers. He has set us apart for His glory. We're saints of God. I'm a member of the household of faith. I've been made a saint by the grace of God. And Jude exhorts us in these last days to build ourselves up on our most holy faith. Now, of course, the most holy thing that is in existence, the most holy person, is the Lord Jesus.
Yes.
And the Christian faith transcends all others because our faith is in Christ, who is the author,
yes,
and the finisher of our faith.
Yes.
Jesus Christ, God's wisdom,
yes,
the eternal Redeemer.
Yes.
Building yourselves up, not on yourself, but upon our most holy faith. Anchor all your hopes in Jesus Christ. And so Jude reminds us that we're to build ourselves up on our most holy faith, preserved in Jesus Christ. That means that something has happened and that something continues to happen. If you're in Christ, He giveth grace and glory. And for every mile of our sojourn on this earth, as the people of God, He will give us grace.
Yes, will.
And it is a wonderful thing to know that our faith is anchored in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Our faith is not anchored in some man.
No.
It is not anchored in some movement.
No.
Looking unto Jesus,
yes,
the author,
yes,
and the finisher of our faith. Hebrews says, as a son, he learned obedience that he might become the author of eternal salvation to all that obey him. Salvation is through Jesus Christ. And Jude writes about this common faith, this faith that was once delivered to the saints. Now, it does not matter if the language is German or French. It's the same gospel.
Yes.
It's the same word.
Yes.
And we that are in the household of faith preach the same word.
Yes.
And no matter what a day may bring, this faith in Jesus Christ, built upon His word,
yes,
will endure.
Yes.
Whether it's the bubonic plague of the 18th century, or the Civil War of the 19th century, World War I and II, and Vietnam in the 20th century, or whether it's in the 21st century, whether it is Al-Qaeda, whether it is the woke teaching, whatever it is, our faith is centered in Jesus Christ, and it will still work. Now, what we do as the people of God seems awful foolish to this world. I mean, the world can't understand what joy we could possibly get out of coming on a hot Friday evening and hearing a man open one ancient book we call the Bible and preach from it and sing songs about Him, about His grace and His mercy. That's all foolishness to the world. That's why there are always some new inventions trying to be worked out that will attract people and draw people. I want to tell you that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save those which believe. And don't you praise God for the men, even in this place, that have been faithful to God. They're now in the presence of the Lord. And I know that soon, in the grace of God, I'll join that crowd. I am looking for the Lord to come first. But I do know this. I do not have as many years as I have had. I don't know what my last words on earth will be. I do not even know if I'll be conscious to have any last words. But I do think I know what my first word in heaven will be. Jesus. Jesus. The author of eternal salvation. Jesus Christ. Same yesterday, today, and forever. That's going to be just one song in heaven. Worthy is the Lamb. That's not going to be a group over here singing, I'll build a bridge. And another group over here singing, save by grace. It'll be the same song. Worthy is the Lamb. For by grace are you saved through faith. At not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Lest any man should boast. And what a wonderful thing it is that we have the Word of God that is sure and steadfast. And the same song, the same gospel that we preach is the same gospel the Apostle Paul preached. And if God allows the world to continue this dispensation, that is, it will be through the preaching of the Word. But then there's another word, supplication, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now the only weapon to rout the enemy is prayer. I think that praying in the Holy Ghost might be a rare thing in our day. I am grateful there are people who pray. And I have confidence in them that when they pray, they have the ear of God. How many people do you really know that you know that when they pray, that they're heard of God because of their faith and because of their life? There's praying, and then there's praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, praying in the Holy Ghost may not even be words. Sometimes the greatest prayers that we ever pray are uttered with the words, oh God. We don't know what to say. We don't know how to pray. We know what to pray for as we ought. But we have the confidence that if we pray in the Holy Ghost, that He'll hear us. Romans 8:26 says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself make intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Have you ever prayed and the words just didn't seem to form on your lips? Words didn't even seem to come on your mind. And all you could do was bow before God with bended knees. But yet, when you got off your knees, you knew God had heard you. You knew that the answer was on the way. Praying in the Holy Ghost. We that are saved can pray in the Holy Ghost and have the assurance that God will hear us. We live in a dark, a turbulent age, strange days. And I say every day to myself, I just won't be shocked by what is done today. But I have to confess, I'm still shocked. Almost every day, inventor of evil things. It is the last part of Romans 1. The imagination of their hearts are only evil continually. And they change the glory of the incorruptible God to corruptible things as four-footed beasts. But in the midst of it, we can pray in the Holy Ghost. I remember the first time that I really prayed under Holy Ghost conviction, He heard my prayer because I asked Him to save me. Now, if I had to give you the words that I prayed, recite the words that I prayed that night, I could not do it if my life depended on it. But I knew two things that night, that I was a sinner and that Jesus is the only Savior. And thank God He heard my cry. He did lift me from the miry clay. And He still, after 65 years, He still hears me when I pray. And I have the confidence that when we pray, God will hear us. It is the prayer of faith, the world's most holy faith. It's the prayer of the heart, not just of the lips. It's a prayer that does not depend on body posture, but on our own positions, but praying in the Holy Ghost. Yes, and then there's a third word from the Word that will help us survive the last days. And that's the word inspiration. Yeah. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Yes. Don't ever forget where God found you. Don't ever forget that you are what you are by the grace of God. That, of course, is not referring to our love for God, but His love to us. Keep yourselves in the love of God. That don't mean that I just have to keep saying, He loves me. He loves me. I love Him. But it means to live in the consciousness of the love of God. I don't want to sin because He loved me. I don't want to disgrace His name because He loved me. Jeremiah says, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. That means from eternity to eternity, God loves us. Romans chapter 8 reminds us that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? So tribulation, or distress, or persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing, nobody, whether it's up there, out there, or down there, spaceship full of green Martians should land. They cannot separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Keep yourselves in the love of God. It does help to be reminded, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. He gave Himself for me because He loved me. See the blood trickle down His thorn-crowned brow, sacred brow. See the blood trickle down past sunken eyes. See that blood trickle on down on His bruised and purple cheeks. See that blood as it falls onto the ground. Someone has said, when that blood fell to the ground, the earth said, it is finished. And then that blood rises up to the trees. And the trees say, it is finished. And the blood rises up past the stars and the moon. And the heavens declare, it is finished. But the blood comes before the throne. And God declares, it is finished. The Lord is over and been justified by faith. Now, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He gave himself for us. Ancient love. Eternal love. And then the last word. Expectation. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that that is another reference to the second coming of Christ. I don't think that anybody or any power or any party could straighten out the mess we're in. But I know one that can take care of it in short order. And you imagine when the church is gone, what chaos, what darkness, what confusion, when the Holy Ghost is gone and the people of God are gone and every diabolical power on earth is loosed and prepares for the revelation of the man of sin who still sat in the temple of God declaring himself that he is God and being worshipped as God to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think that is a mercy that Jesus should come any moment. He is coming, you know. I really believe that. I really believe that. That any moment we could meet him in the clouds. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the voice of the archangel. The trump of God shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And forever we shall be with the Lord. That's what this book says. It'll be all right with me just at this moment to meet him in the clouds. As I heard our brother, our dear brother, Ed McAfee, whom all of us love so much. One of the last things that I heard him say, if I die before you do, don't worry. I'll be back to pick you up. That's what the Bible says. Those that are in heaven will come back with the Lord. And those of us that are saved shall rise up to meet him. There's a song that says, I'd like to be standing by mother's grave when he comes. But it really don't matter. Because if they're saved and you're saved, you'll go so fast, dirt won't have time to fly. But in the moment, in the twinkle of an eye, we shall be like him. He doth not yet appear what we should be. But when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter says in the first chapter, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved for you in heaven. My reservation is in heaven. And no power on earth can ever prevent me from one day taking full advantage of the resurrection through the Lord Jesus. I'm grateful that he does know me. John said, Paul said, he loved me and gave himself for me. John the Apostle describes himself as that disciple whom Jesus loved. But he also knew that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My name is written in the book of life, and it can't ever be erased. Some years ago, I went to preach a revival in a certain place. I went to the hotel the pastor instructed me to go to, asked if they had reservations for Larry Winkler. This was a long time ago. No computers, just those little metal boxes. And they flipped through it and they flipped through it. And finally the man at the desk said, "Mr. Winkler, I don't find your reservation here. But I'm sure that you do have a reservation because the pastor of Calvary Baptist Church, Buntsville, Alabama,
yeah,
made the reservation this week. You just check in and everything will be fine. I won't have that problem when I get to heaven. They're expecting me. My name is there. Larry Winkler." Somebody said, "Put your name in John 3:16 and take out whosoever." I like it just like it is. My name is Larry Winkler, of course. And I found out some time ago that there's more than one person named Larry Winkler. I was at the dermatologist not long ago, and the nurse came out and called out the name Larry. Three of us stood up. But I wasn't the right one. And I was preaching once near Atlanta, Georgia. And the pastor came in and sat down beside me and said, "Here's a man that wants to meet you. He's a medical doctor." And he was passing by and saw his name out on the sign, and he wanted to come in and meet himself. I know that near me there's several Larry Winklers.
Yeah.
He knows me.
Yeah.
No mistake in identity.
Yeah.
I have a reservation there. He loved me.
Yeah.
He gave himself for me.
Yeah.
He died for me. He's coming for me.
Yeah.
Now, if the darkest of times should come, seek the Lord with all your heart. And keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves praying in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus. I do not know what we face. I think that it's possible that some of us could even be facing a cell, a prison, like those in communist countries. I do not know. But I know this. This grace will work in a cell as well as at the camp meeting. He giveth grace. He giveth more grace. And I do know that He will put everything in order. It's out of order. Behold, He cometh with clouds,
yes,
with 10,000s of His saints,
yes,
to execute judgment upon all and convince them of their ungodly deeds which they have committed. Unto Him be glory and honor, dominion and power, now and forever. Amen.